Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's white, cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this wonderful evening? I do hope that everyone is as happy as I am. And even if you're not as happy as I am, just speak it anyway. Speak those things that be not as though they were. But we are excited to be here on this broadcast tonight, and we're going to talk about the path I choose. Every one of us loves to say that we're all grown up, and I choose my destination, and I'm going to be responsible for what I do, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But what we are focusing on now is the fact that choosing our own path. The path that I choose, is this going to be the right one? And this is in relation to this flood of students that is being loosed on society because of graduation from high school. And they're out, they're coming out, they have choices to make, and they don't realize, maybe some of them do, but the choices that they have to be made, and these choices are going to determine if these students, how they've operated throughout the school year. Did they, throughout their entire schooling, were they in school with a certain objective in mind? And realizing, too, that the path that they choose will determine where they end up. Success or failure is decided by the path I choose. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We have here our guest. We have the incomparable, the powerful, the magnificent, the funny, the serious, Mr. Motivator. Let's hear you say yay, Mr. Motivator. Yay. And we have also a dynamic person. That's just an all-around town person, and this is Louise. Hey, Louise.
Hey.
And we have another guest. We haven't heard her voice in a while, but she is just dynamic in what she does. We'll go over the top at any moment, and this is Shannon. Let's everybody say hello, Shannon. Before we get started, I want everybody to get comfortable. Put your cell phones down. Put your wallets down. Put your purses down. Just be comfortable. Nobody here in the studio is going to take anything from you. We'd rather give you something than take from you. So what I want y'all to understand is, talking about the path I choose. Now, first of all of our, these kids coming out of high school, do you think they have a clue about what they're going to be faced with?
No,
I don't think so. So, let me ask you this. If we're talking about choosing a path, how will they know what path to choose? where to look. This is something that I believe should have been instilled in them from kindergarten. Because, listen, we're talking about you have to have an objective in mind. What is an objective? An objective is something that one's efforts or actions are intended to attain or accomplish. You're trying to accomplish something. So what I'm feeling here, because I remember when I came out of high school, which was just a couple of years ago, I can remember when I got out of high school, the only thing was on my mind was that I didn't have to go to school anymore. And there, I didn't have an objective. I didn't have a lot of people say, well, I'm going to go to school. But still, what is your objective? You know, what is your purpose? What are you looking for? What are you headed for? What's your goal? What's your target? So, I believe that schools are failing our children because they don't instill that in them from pre-K to anywhere. So what are we going to do about it? And I know, Mr. Motivator, you are not only a stand-up comedian, a motivational speaker, you are an educator as well. You have been in the public school system as well as the private sector. Do you think our schools are really giving our kids everything they need so that they will have the right information to choose their path?
I think that's a part A and a B.
Mm-hmm.
On one part, they're trying to work with the students to get them up to standards as far as academic excellence. But it seems to me that a lot of schools are focusing more on the test and helping the kids to become great test takers, which is nothing wrong with that. But if the kids only know, if all the kids know is how to become great test takers, but the kids don't have the motivation to pursue their passion, the things that they have a great interest in, there's going to be some complications. And I think as a result, a lot of kids end up going to school and they just kind of float around till they can figure out what it is that they really want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result from that, some kids end up changing majors. Some drop out of school, and it causes them to, I believe, get off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think students should wait until they're in high school and it's time for them to graduate from high school to start thinking about their career and what they want to major in. I think it's good for the parents and the teachers to help the students early on in their early stages in life, when maybe grade school, intermediate school,
mm-hmm.
It's good to help the kids start thinking and preparing them for the world and preparing them for jobs and careers, to talk to them about that. And I think sometimes teachers get a little bit more focused on what they're paid to do and the money instead of not being there just for the money, but hey, what about the kids? Are you there just because of the money, or do you love what you do? Are you an educator that you want your kids to learn and to excel and to be motivated when they go out here? I think there are some things missing, and it's affecting a lot of the youth because they're undecided.
Right. I agree with you, and before we go any further and get everyone else involved in what we're talking about, I always tell people at the top of my show is that I'm not here to preach to anybody, because I'm sure you have your various pastors, teachers, preachers, ministers, whomever. But I do stand on this. there is only one truth, and the name of this show is Let's Talk Truth. So if we're going to tell the truth, it has to be encompassed with the Word of God, because that's the only time you can come to a bottom line and tell the truth. And the way I feel about some things that's going on right now, it may be a lot of educators out there who may listen to this show who will not agree with some of the things I'm going to say, because, frankly, I believe, but if you do, that's okay. You have an option. You can write me at Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com, and you can state your opinion or whatever. But what I want people to understand is our focus should be on our children. And I frankly believe that the school system and the way it's designed has nothing to do with children. I don't think it has anything to do with children. I think it has to do with somebody being in a position to make money off of our children. So that's deceit. You know, it's a very deceitful thing that's going on, and it has nothing to do with educating our children. And if you think that what I'm saying is out of line, let's pick some kids, some young people that's graduating this year, and follow them for the next 10 years, and let's see where life takes them.
I tend to believe what you're saying, because I remember when I was in school, you know, they teach you, you can be anything you want to be. But what I want to be and what I'm designed to be are two different things. And when you say you can be what you want to be, they automatically think doctors, lawyers, oh, the president. You know, if that's you, then, yeah, that can be you. But the purpose of a school or a teacher, you spend most of your time in school with those teachers. So they should mold you to be the best you can be.
Mm.
If I'm designed to be a window washer and I get enjoyment out of washing windows, I'm going to be the best window washer there is, and I'm going to make the most money at it, because that's what I love.
Yes.
You know, design or design programs that boost up that person's ability,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, setting a precedent or a standard saying, this is who you can be. And when people don't reach that, they're devastated. It knocks them down. It
mm-hmm.
makes them feel like they're nothing because they didn't reach the standard that someone else set before them.
Right. And I understand so well, they categorize the different styles of teaching. You have your schools for academics, then you have your technical, and you have, there's another one.
Fine arts.
All of this.
Yeah.
These are separate entities. But you are not geared, no one is interested in what that child wants to do. I know that from all first graders learn to read out of the same book. This is the book that's set aside for the first graders. Well, suppose that book doesn't pique the interest of little Johnny. So little Johnny has a problem learning to comprehend, because that's what reading is. It's not just calling words. It's teaching comprehension. I need to understand what it is I'm reading. Then you have mastered the art of reading.
Which is why a lot of people in school do well at saying words, but don't understand what it is. And it comes down to reading those paragraphs and answering the questions.
Yes.
Those students fail.
Absolutely.
Because they don't understand. You can pronounce a word because you can sound it out.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really understand what it means?
Can you comprehend it?
No.
So that's the problem I have. And this when I believe that education now is one of the greatest forms of deceit, because it doesn't pack fair with the student. Okay, Louise.
Okay, well, I see education nowadays with schools focusing so much on these tests and everything. They're no longer focusing on the whole child. So, see, it takes more than taking tests. You know, you got to make sure that you fix it where, you know, that kid will, you know, everything kind of geared toward each child. But each child is different. Every kid has their own way of learning things. Some kids can learn through video, some kids learn audio, you know, some kids may have a mixture of all that. So all kids are different.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you come up with these, what you call standardized tests, that's not necessarily going to set the pace for all kids coming through, because from what I've seen, you know, when I was in school, I see a lot of kids, they may take these tests and they pass them.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass a test, that don't mean you know the material.
Exactly.
So what you're seeing with, when these people are, because they putting these tests out here and setting up a precedent where if these kids don't pass these tests, these teachers are out of a job. Well, see, that's not necessarily saying that just because these kids are passing these tests that they really know the material.
That's
because
right.
Because I know for myself, I can sit down and just pass the test, learn the stuff well enough just to take the test, and now after 2 or 3 weeks, you may forget all that material you learned.
Exactly.
You really didn't learn it.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
I agree with that,
yeah.
Because I can speak for myself. When I was in school,
mm-hmm.
I graduated number one in my class.
Mm-hmm.
I was valedictorian.
Okay.
I took all honors classes. I had calculus,
mm-hmm.
statistics, geometry, everything. Ask me to do a math problem now.
Yes.
I ascertained the information long enough
uh-huh.
just to get through those classes
uh-huh.
and get through school.
And that's what you see in a lot of
the
So something
do. Something is, to me, something is wrong.
Yes.
And we're talking about a child that's going through something that they can choose a path in life that's going to lead them to prosperity or a successful way in life. But we're building, we got them coming in on the wrong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said. I agree with that. When you give a child a huge amount of to learn at one time, it really takes away the process of them really grasping it and learning it. It's kind of like a man that's hungry. This man is hungry. He's starving. Do you give him enough to sustain him? Or do you open his mouth and you cram a whole bunch of food down his throat so he won't be hungry anymore? I think we've kind of lost the connection with making sure that we're actually being effective with the kid. And then I like what you said a few minutes ago about is the system for the kids, because we got to look at, okay, now the people that put together the material, the education materials, the people that put together curriculum, okay? These are people that get paid to do that.
Right.
And their motivation is to put a lot of it together because they're getting paid to do it, okay? And then it creates other jobs because guess what? Not only once they put this together for the new academic testing, okay, you have to have training for the staff, okay? So that creates a job and money to have the teachers to go back to get retrained and to get a certification. So in order for them to do this, and of course you know it's expensive for the certification. It's not anything that's cheap. And so everything is put together to create money.
To create money. Now let me.
And guess what? If the people, the system doesn't work, or say if they don't, the administrators or the educators don't do well in the system, or with the you know learning the new system, they have to go back and pay more money to retake it again. So that creates a revenue, and then where they get the books from, the corporations that continue to put these books out and then have everything in them, guess what? After they're done with that, they have to create more. So it's another job for the next set of new materials that's coming out because it creates money for everybody.
And
so,
it's creating money. Let me make this point, just
yes.
Because everything you all have said is absolutely true. I really believe that. If I'm a student and I'm to choose my path,
mm-hmm.
What are we giving our children now to help them? Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I was flipping through my television channels the other day, and I saw where all of the entertainers came together to raise funds and raise awareness for abused women.
Mm-hmm.
When will we get together and raise awareness for what our children are going through in school, because those standardized tests are for the birds. They help no one. It's helping no one. I'm going to take a test that someone has generated here for my child. You haven't been with my child from kindergarten on up, but you're going to insert a test in there to see how much my child knows.
Yes.
First of all, you're teaching them to read. You're teaching them just to call words. The majority of the young people now coming out of high school cannot even write legibly.
Yes, yes.
They cannot write legibly.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in school, they have now, we have too many kids under one teacher. My class was 45 kids, all under one teacher. I had 45 kids in algebra, 45 kids in reading, 45 kids in everything. That same class was in every class. What happened to the learning process back then and the learning process now? We don't interest our kids in what they need to be interested in, but we expect them when they come out of high school, I'm going to go to college, or I'm going to work over here, and I'm going to do this. And we have a bunch of failures. We're going now from high school to prison. We're going from college to homelessness. Homelessness to prison. It's all set up for failure for our children. But we won't come together and work at stopping people from crippling our children.
You are definitely right. I agree with you 100% on that, Lois. I believe that if you look at babies, for instance, infants, not all babies are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Some infants start walking earlier than other infants.
Mm-hmm.
Some infants walk later. It works the same way in the learning process. Some children start off a little slower than others, but it doesn't mean that that child is dumb, that the child can't learn, but it's just that
you have to hit their niche.
Yeah, and you have to hit their niche, and also that child has to develop. Some kids come out of the starting block faster than others, but that doesn't mean that kid does not have the potential to be an A and B student. But I think what we're doing, we're teaching the kids, we're putting pressure on them because we're teaching them how to be winners and losers, because we put so much emphasis on the academic test and their intelligence level. And for the kids, there are some teachers I know that don't do very well in tests.
Listen.
There are some people that have to study all night, all day. Not everyone can do exceptionally well on a test. But what you're doing is you're taking a kid that's intelligent, that has a lot of potential, and because this kid doesn't score way up here, and with the rest of the kids. Okay, you're saying, you didn't score high enough on the academic test. Okay, you're a loser. You go over here. Okay, the rest of you losers go over there.
Exactly.
Okay, when you put in a kid's mind that you're a winner, you're a loser, and the kids get that, you affect those kids, and those children fall along by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to reach the kids. We don't want all of our kids to go to prison. We don't want them to be on the street selling drugs. But if we go and ascertain the fact that you can't pass this test or you can't score this particular amount on the test, you are a loser.
Exactly.
And so you're crippling those kids for life.
But we sit in judgment on them based on the choice they make when they leave high school. For those of you can't see, but I'm showing my panel here a book. It's a spelling book. It's for grade school. What does that say at the top of that book?
Teacher's edition.
Why does it say teacher's edition? Because it has the answers in it.
Yes.
Now, so that means that a teacher is not just really going out here knowing everything. They've got a book with the answers in it.
Yes.
And now, how many young people do you see bring books home from school?
None.
They don't bring books. Listen, when I was in school, I had 8 books. And I brought all 8 of them home. And we didn't have a backpack either.
Those books were heavy.
Yes, we didn't have a backpack, but there was a way you stacked them that you could carry them. My thing of it is, we have, at every graduating class, every senior class that came out of public school and probably private school, had what you call a baccalaureate service. Basically, on a Sunday. And that is a service, it's a ceremony, a service of worship in celebration of and thanksgiving for lives dedicated to learning and wisdom. Now, if you're sitting and talking to a graduating class and you're in a baccalaureate service and you're encouraging them to make the right choice, how can you make the right choice the same day you're coming out of high school? How did you encourage me the day I'm coming out? Who encouraged me way back so that I could have focus on my objective? I don't even know where I'm going. But you're having a baccalaureate. You're having this person speak to me who has his PhD and his BYPU degree. You know, I'm just saying, as many letters as you have behind your name, that's just how important you are.
Yes.
You know, you're a doctor and you're this and all of this. And you're going to encourage that student that day to choose the right path.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's a little late?
You are right. That is a little late. And you know what I believe, Lois? I believe that if the student fails, the teacher fails.
Exactly.
And let me say this. If you are a teacher, if you're an educator, and you hate children, why are you an educator? You see, we're looking at a lot of people are there for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schools are saying, hey, we want to hire this particular person because they have a certain level in their education and they did this and that. But look, if that's not their passion, if they hate children, they don't like students, but yet they're academically above average, that does not make them a good teacher. There are some people that are geniuses, but they can't explain to you how to understand what it is that they know because that is not their profession of being a teacher. A teacher is someone that can relate to the kids. A teacher can expound. A teacher can elaborate. A teacher can explain things. But the children, a lot of the students aren't getting that because they have people there who may have the academic background, but they don't have the ability.
They're not people.
They're not people persons, and some of them just do not have teaching skills.
Exactly. Now, there are certain jobs, or certain things that everybody will tell you that the world we're living in today is not a altruistic world.
Yes.
And that is a world where people are devoted to the welfare of others.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe school should be an altruistic world.
Yes.
It, because that should be a place where it's devoted to others. You have to be devoted to a child. You have to walk that child. You have to sit down and see something in that child that you want to enhance. That's why I have a problem with teachers who say you get a kid with a foul mouth. Yeah, nobody want to deal with a kid with a foul mouth. But if a child is sitting in my classroom with a foul mouth, I'm going to challenge myself to put a new word in his vocabulary.
I agree. And also, when a kid has a foul mouth, the question I'm going to ask, what's the reason for the foul mouth? Why is this kid acting out? You see, some kids act out because they feel like, I'm not getting this. I won't ever get this. And they're telling me that I'm dumb. And I got to figure out a way to make everybody respect me or look at me. So
I've got to make everybody laugh.
And I got
to
make everybody laugh.
Because they're not feeling important. They don't feel like
they're
worth anything.
They really don't.
And I feel like if I'm dedicated and devoted to making that child's life a better life for him, I'm going to him or her, I'm going to do all I can to make them feel good about themselves.
Okay, now you hit that word. I love that. Dedicated. When
yes.
you're dedicated, you want to make that child feel good about themselves. Also, when you're dedicated, you want to make learning interesting. You want to make learning fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make learning challenging. And I think that's what we're losing with a lot of the students. We're getting people there that are only there for the money, and they're only looking at tests, and they're not concerned about whether the student learns anything. They're not concerned about whether the student is motivated. They all they do is look at the test.
That's it. You know, another stickler.
Yes,
rules.
That is.
Rules,
yes. Yeah.
Rules are, there is a need for rules.
Yes.
But there is a way you draw a person into obeying rules without being a dictator.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we force children to rebel by the way we present the rules.
Yes.
By the way we present it. Now, we're talking this evening, for those of you that's listening in, we're talking about the path I choose. Everything that we're saying has a 100% effect on the path a child chooses when they come out of high school. Have you ever seen kids, heard a child on graduation day? God, I am glad to be out of that school. I never want to see that school again.
Yes.
Well, if it was a pleasant experience, they wouldn't say that.
Yes.
But it was not a pleasant experience, because if it was, they wouldn't be running for the hills like that. And for the way everything is set up, a friend of mine that lives in Lubbock said something. She said her algebra teacher needs to apologize to her for trying to convince her she would need algebra. She's up in age now. She's like, you know, 40 or 50 now. And she said, I've never had to use algebra. Why did I take it? You understand what I'm saying? I have to go back to the scripture. When the scripture says, train up a child mm-hmm. in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There should be enough interest in the heart of an educator or a person that's in the position to be a leader over a young mind. There should be enough in them to look and figure out what it is, what makes that kid come alive.
The motivation for me writing my book, Success is an Attitude, the motivation that came to me for writing that book came from a lot of the students and people that I've met in the corporate world
mm-hmm.
who told me this, I wish I could have done this. I always loved cars, always wanted to work in this, but my teacher told me that I didn't have what it takes. My teacher told me that I was dumb. A lot of people have been crushed by students.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something else, Lawrence. Do you think that students like to be overlooked? Now, I notice you have a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when you have friends that come to visit you, okay, your dog is barking because he's trying to say, hey, I'm part of the family. somebody say hi to me,
mm-hmm.
pet me, recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
When educators make difference with in some of the kids, some kids are treated nice and other kids are pushed away, they're snubbed. And
that's why you have that teacher's pet thing.
That's why you have the teacher's pet thing, and also you have kids that become devastated. Their motivation is destroyed,
mm-hmm.
is shut down because you have educators who actually do people that way. And if you watch them closely, they do their own relatives and friends the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They treat people that are around them unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
That affects children's motivation.
Of course it does.
Well, not even that, because they're treating them like a serial number versus a person.
Exactly.
For example, you know, they're treating everybody like we said earlier, the same curriculum, the same everything. And like Sister Louise said, everybody's not the same. So when you put that same categorization out there and people fall short from it, they think there's something wrong with them. That's why you have dysfunctional adults and members of society, because, you know, small failures end up being big mess-ups later on.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't have the, you know, capacity to understand, okay, you're telling me that I failed at this, but it's not, you know, nothing I did wrong. It's just that it wasn't geared toward me.
Mm-hmm.
People don't get that. They just see the fact that they fail. I don't care. The human nature is geared to understand the bad first.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me all day long, oh, you're beautiful, you're this, and tell me one, 2 days out of the month that I'm ugly. I just believe I'm ugly because that's what, you know, we're in
our negative.
That's what
mm-hmm.
it's negative. I agree. And also, for the same token, when some children are treated differently and they're encouraged, hey, you're better than them over there. Okay, these same children who are pushed to feel that they're better than everybody else, guess what? They become the snobs in the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They become the snobs in the corporate structure, in the churches, because they've learned at an early age to form cliques because you're better. And I think all of these things play a big role on the children being motivated to want to acquire success.
So it begins at home as well. So sometimes if the kids don't get a good foundation at home, no matter how good or great that teacher is, it's not necessarily going to help. So sometimes the kids need that motivation from home to get them going.
I agree.
Sometimes that's not always.
They do.
But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, like, when I was growing up, it takes a village to raise a child, really, literally.
Uh-huh.
Because I can remember when I used to get in trouble. I remember when I was a little girl, I told my mom I wasn't going to school. I said, I'm not going to school today. And I was emphatically not going to school. And I was like, first grade, kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
my mama whipped my behind, took me to the school when I got out there called crying. The principal of the school whipped my behind because she said, you're too smart for that. Shut that crying up and get to class. Now, nowadays, you can't do that because you have to have just like, it's like a robot machine just pumping out kids to be a certain way. Because now if you say something to little Johnny, I understand, you know, you're having trouble reading. Let's get you tested for, you know, maybe you have dyslexia. Maybe you have something like that. Then all of a sudden you have LaQuindia. She coming up there, ready to whoop the teacher and the principal, and they got boycotting and picketing. And I blame the people I don't have children. But let me have a child in the school district. Somebody's getting fired because I don't want anyone just feeding anything into my child. You can't do that. You have to be careful. You have to be concise. And, you know, God is decent
love
in
what
order.
You do.
Exactly. God is decent in order. So people can say, well, if they just prayed about it, I was doing what God said. No, you weren't. You were putting self into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got you into this trouble. You can't do anything to every child. You can't say anything to every child.
Mm-hmm.
You can't joke with certain children a certain way. You know, you don't think these people know who's bullying in the classroom? You know, kid bullies become adult bullies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an ongoing cycle in all things that we do, and I don't think kids are set up to show their true potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so what, little Johnny doesn't have the best tennis shoes? But little Johnny may be an awesome programmer
mm-hmm.
for computers. Look at Bill Gates. He is not a handsome man. He is not somebody who's like, oh, he is cute. No, but he's rich, and that makes him cute. So, you know, you have to think about it. Everybody that they picked on and did things in school and all that, these teachers sit back and allow it.
Mm-hmm. You know, if, like in church, the pastor who stands up and look out in the congregation and see everybody's face, know what their mood is, what they're doing. If you're a teacher and you're above your class, you know what's going on. You know when somebody, what's going on over there? You know, you just don't want to address it. You want to make it seem like you care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. You have to love what you do. That's why you have so many people on the bridges with these master's degrees. You know, you go to school for toilet cleaning and you end up being an astronaut. It just doesn't make sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to gear your life toward what is in you to be.
Yes, exactly.
I think she made a great point. There are a lot of kids that are dealing with things at home. They're wrestling with issues. Some of them may not have food. They may not have adequate clothing. They're dealing with the lights turned off. There are a lot of things that are going on, and because of the schools aren't really focused on the child, and they're more focused on their academic efforts,
mm-hmm.
I believe that they lose out in not reaching some of these kids who need an encouragement. They need someone to take the time to help them work
That's right.
through their issues and, like you say.
Exactly. So when we're thinking, when we are looking at our nieces, nephews, daughters, sons this year, this 2013 school year, and we expect them to make such a dynamic decision, this is what I'm going to do in life, and they fall short, what are we going to do about that?
I agree with you 100%. What are we going to do? Because we paint pictures to our children. Sometimes it's not as easy as it looks out here. What are they going to do when they get turned down or they get a job and the supervisor doesn't like them because of their ethnic background or
mm-hmm.
their size or their shape or their color, and they're rejected? How are they going to deal with this? And they're fired, and it's not always easy to pinpoint something that you can actually bring to court. How are they going to deal with being knocked off of the horse? Are we giving the kids the tools that they need? Hey, if you can't make it in this corporation, there's another company that will take you.
And
I
had a baccalaureate service. This young lady who's graduating this year, I went to her baccalaureate services.
Yes.
And the speaker was, she made history. She was the first female speaker to speak at this particular school, baccalaureate. Now, one thing she did say, she said, because it's an ethnic school, she geared her speech toward those kids.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, when you have a plan, it's good to make plans, but have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, because she gave her own testimony.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I went to school for one thing, but ended up getting laid off from the teachers when the school went bad. So what did I do? I started doing my own cleaning service. I started doing hair. You know, you have to have all these plans. She geared toward him. She told
mm-hmm.
him also, don't lose your hood instinct. So that same thing that says, you know, the crackhead down the street used to twitch when he was smoking dope. So now I'm looking at corporate America, and I'm looking at, this guy is really twitching at his desk and doing this. Something's not right with
mm-hmm.
his gene. So use the things that you have to help you out in life. You can gear that toward anything.
Now, what I want to do, we have about 16 minutes. So what I want to do, I'm going to kind of put a cap on everything to kind of help those that are listening. Maybe they want to pass this on to someone, some educator, some child or whatever. But what I want to say is emphatically, students coming out of high school don't have a clue what they're about to embark upon. They do not have a clue
mm-mm.
about life. This is something that should be instilled in a child from that first day of school as a pre-K all the way to high school. Now, and you do this by showing them that when something doesn't go like you want it to go, there's an alternative. And you are geared to your, just because you didn't make an A doesn't mean you're dummy.
That's
sometimes
right.
Making a C will help you change the way you're studying and will bring that C next time up to a B or bring that B up to an A. So we have to first teach our children that they are somebody regardless of what's going on around them or how they attach themselves to that. You have to teach our students about life, and that not only is at home, it has to be done at school. Teachers need to stop making kids feel inferior. I do not like to hear a teacher say, "I got mine, you better get yours." I would choke a teacher if I heard her say that to a student. Or, "Where did you get that? Maybe you need to go back to where you came from." That's a teacher that should not be in a classroom. This is why our students nowadays don't have a clue about life. This is why they make so many bad choices. This is why they make so many mistakes. Because the road you have traveled from pre-K to high school, you've been on them back roads. You've been on the service road. You've been back street, frontage road. But guess what? Commencement night. What does the word commencement mean? The beginning. Child, student, you're fixing to pull up on the freeway. And up on that freeway, you've got to know how to drive. You've got to know how to stay, keep your speed. You can't go too fast and you can't go too slow. You're on the freeway now. This is why you have commencement. Commencement means, baby, it's a beginning for you. You're not ending your school. You are in the beginning of your life. So the choice you make has to be a good one. And if you make a good choice, because once you have pulled onto the freeway of life, it may be an 18-wheeler barreling down on you. You've got to know what to do. It's an 18-wheeler in everybody's life on the freeway. You've got to be able to drive on that freeway, check your gas gauge, notice where your last fuel station is, your gas station, so that you won't get somewhere out in the boonies and run out of gas. You've got to be able to read the signs while you drive. You no longer have mommy now to read the signs and to give you a point of, "Honey, we need to get some gas." See, you're not on the service road anymore. You're on the freeway. You've got to watch all these things for yourself. You've got to be able to, when somebody's bright lights are shining in the back of your car, you've got to know how to adjust your mirror and keep on driving. In other words, all of these things that you're coming out, you're on the freeway, you've got to learn how to adjust these things and keep on living. You cannot sit up here because you went through commencement. This is your beginning. And we need to make sure our students know that my beginning, I'm embarking on my life, and the choice I make is a choice that's going to put me over the top or cause me to fall short. And it's based on what we give our children. Everything that we give them have to be something that's going to bless them, something that they can eat on. Got to be meat to the soul, meat to that child. That child has to know I can function now. I've been out here. I've had someone has held my hand all through high school. When you go to college, those professors don't hold your hand. You either get it in their classroom or you do without it. But they're not going to remind you.
They don't call you at all.
They're not going to wake you up for class. Go ahead, miss too many classes, flunk, get sent home. Somebody's money has gone down the drain. The choices you make. Some I haven't had been on my own, so my freshman year of college, I'm going to party like nothing. I mean, I'm going to party every night. When do you plan on bringing your grades up? your GPA is less than 2.0.
And get on academic probation.
And then what's going to happen? See, the path I choose. And if you don't choose the right path, who's going to choose it for you? But one thing I can say, we need to teach our children how to follow those paths, how to choose the path. Am I going to choose, okay, there's a fork in the road. Am I going to go right, left? I'm going to keep straight. What path is geared for you? And you should have been taught that all the way through school. Yes.
Your basic training starts
home. But see, a lot of people nowadays don't have home. So when you don't have home, who's your stand-in? Who does that child spend the majority of its time with? That teacher.
That teacher, that coach.
That teacher, that coach. They should be ready. I want to see them make it. I want to see them. This is the path I want you to make. Don't you dare talk about dropping out of school. Where were you yesterday? Don't let a kid miss enough days that they have to go to truancy court. Go get them. Teachers, go get them.
Yes.
But, you know, all we sit around and let them be turned in to the office, and then the truant officer come out, and they just take money that you don't have to pay. But we expect our children. Oh, I do hope they made such a bad decision. I mean, they went to this university. They went there because they had a friend to go there. Was this the university or was this the college that absolutely was geared to what they wanted to do? Stop your kids from being a follower of other kids.
Uh-huh.
Teach them how to be a pioneer. Okay, y'all not going to this school, but I'm going because there's something over here I need. How will they know that?
That's right.
How will they know that except someone has taught them how to choose that right path?
I agree.
I promise you, if you choose the right path, you're not going to fail. You're not going to fail. And we should let's care about everybody's child.
Yeah. And if they're if they don't make it into the largest university in the country, hey, look for a university that will accept you and take you in.
Exactly. Sometimes that real large university doesn't have what you need.
That's right.
What do you need? You need a solid foundation.
Yes.
And sometimes what that huge school has to offer is not geared for you.
I agree. Some people fall through the cracks in larger schools.
Yes.
Some people need more individual attention.
Yes. And we do that. We find that now. We send our children. I'm going to send over here because, oh, God, their cheerleading squad is just so. Well, who said Amy wanted to be a cheerleader?
Yes. Who said she can make the team?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We should put our children in a place where they learn about themselves and master who they are. You can only master a book if you master you.
That's right. And I want to give a big shout out to all of the seniors that are graduating, both high school and college. Congratulations. But can I say this to the parents? You that are parents, if you have a son or daughter who missed the mark, I want you to tell your child, your son or your daughter, that you love them. Say, hey, I love you, but we're not giving up. We're going to help you get right back in there. We're going to find a way for you to get your education, to get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage parents, hey, if your children are not advancing the way you feel like they should, get them some extra help. Get them a tutor. Take them to a workshop. Get them in a speed reading course. You as a parent, do all you can to help your child. So that they won't feel inadequate. And please don't let them, because it breaks my heart when I see students give up. Hey, Mr. Jeff, I'm dropping out of school. I didn't pass those tests, and I'm losing. I'm going to forget about my football scholarships because I didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
I say don't give up, because you're not measured in what's on the outside. You're measured by what's in your heart and
mm-hmm.
what God has placed in your heart. That's what makes you somebody.
Exactly. So these are the things. You all have had some wonderful, wonderful input today in the path I choose. And hopefully some of our young people, I don't know if they're listening or somebody is listening, and you can call up some young people and encourage them. Cause, and frankly, I know that there are a lot of kids in the school system that will need encouraging
yes.
because they didn't pass that standardized test they
right.
have to take to
yes.
so a lot of kids didn't pass it, which
and,
I think
and their parents will be out of money for the summer.
I think it is horrible.
Yes.
I think it is so horrible that you put a test on a child and you give them something that 9 times out of 10 is something they didn't even have. They've never been taught, because teachers aren't allowed to teach anymore. They
pass out
pamphlets.
Teach. We're going to teach on the stars. We're going to teach on the...
Well, teach me on the
moon. The top, whatever test that was.
That now is tax test. The
stars
test. Stars. Next time it's going to be the moon. What we need to do is start radically putting ourselves in the position to move those standardized tests. That's simple.
We have, because we're getting caught up in that, and we have children... students from around the world and other countries that are just doing exceptionally well, and they're doing much better than a lot of our kids here in the U.S. And so I think that means we must reevaluate what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and figure out how to motivate our
kids. We do. We really do. Because I want to see everyone choose a good path.
Yes.
I want a person to be able to stand up and say, everything that I have, everything
yes.
that I've accomplished,
yes.
this is the path I chose.
Yes.
I chose this path.
Yes.
I had a choice and I made it.
Yes.
And this is the result. I did good. I made a good choice for
yes.
my life.
That's right. And we want those kids to not give up on their dream.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to dare to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And think as big as they want to, because it's their world, it's their goal,
mm-hmm.
is their vision.
Yes. And everything that goes with it. I mean, you cannot. I get joy. It's joy deep inside when I see a student excel
yes.
or accomplish a goal they've set
yes.
or a target they've set for
yes.
themselves.
It's awesome.
And because that's a decision that they made. They know how to live with it. They knew how to work at it. They know how to, you know, And it's just awesome to see it happen.
Yes.
And I just want everybody to know if anybody needs any help, you can write me at Let's Talk Truth, 333@yahoo.com. I'm available. I will talk to you anytime. If you're down and out and you don't understand what's going on in your life right now, you're a young person, that's my ministry. I encourage young people. So please, write me, send me an email to letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. I am absolutely all over it. You can also check out my blog page at loisbullock.blogspot.com. Go on there and look at it. You'll find some encouraging material. You'll be able to listen to our weekly shows. And just, I just thank you all for listening. I thank my guest, Mr. Motivator.
Congratulations to your granddaughter achieving academic.
Oh, yes, my granddaughter.
Yes, I heard about
yes,
that.
Yes, she was valedictorian of her kindergarten class.
Yes.
And she excelled in all academic studies, reading, spelling, math, language. I mean, I can just go on and on and on. And I want the whole wide world to know her dad cried like a baby because he was so proud of her. He's going to get me, so keep telling that, because I keep telling people all of that. But this is something that we want our kids to be motivated. We want them to be motivated to do the right thing. So with that said, I hope you enjoy the show, The Path I Choose. And this is Loice Bullock, Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night and be blessed.